Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, I'm delighted now to be joined by a very funny, very popular radio and TV presenter, Ray Foley. Good morning.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I didn't recognise the description.
Who's he talking about now?
Yeah, and what was the other one? But the boys from Popular and Confident, Ray Foley.
Yeah, You blend a balance of confidence and a lack of hubris, Ray.
Yeah, thanks, sir. You're very kind.
So we're going to talk a little bit about your life here, but framed around the fact that you were recently diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. But you're keen for this not to be, you say, a sob story. You're okay.
I'm grand, and I was always grand. It was actually it was an interview I was doing in the paper in the Sunday Independent a few weeks ago, and it just came up, and then that sort of became the focus of it. But even to Leah, the journalist at the time, I said, I'm not a spokesperson or an advocate. Is just, I suppose, my experience. And then as a dad and as an adult, it has sort of become, but there is a sort of, as I was just saying outside, there's sort of everyone's chasing a diagnosis, do you know what I mean? Or there's a sort of a culture of what's wrong with me, and everyone's talking about their own experience. But like my experience was, and it was an eye-opener as well, yeah, but I'm grand, like I said.
Yeah. So what kind of kid were you?
I was pretty good. I was conscientious. I was the eldest of two, so I was a good boy, conscientious, but I was terrible in school, and I never had the homework done, and I wasn't grasping things. I wasn't understanding. And then, you know, the kind of thing when the teacher says, "Now, does everyone have it?" I'd never put up my hand and said, I don't have it. I don't understand it." My parents told me a story of when I was in primary school, of where. The teacher, I think it was in like senior infants or first class, the teacher said, "He's deaf. He's deaf. He can't hear you. He's not hearing. We need to take him to a doctor or a consultant." So we went through a series of tests, and the doctor was whatever the consult, eye and ear or whatever.
Yeah.
Said, "No, he's fine. He can hear fine. He's just not listening, or he's focused." And the other one in primary school that I have a memory of is going off to the toilet. You know, on Walkiadagum Dolgojian Leveris, going off to the toilet and not coming back, going for a wee, and then playing with the water in the sink. And then just playing, just, you know, like seven or eight. By the way, I wasn't 16. In primary school, and just easily distracted. Do you know what I mean? And then, but I thought that everyone did that. Everyone had those sort of experiences.
Yeah. And of course, so they did what the test they had available at the time. We can check if he's deaf, but there was no talk of ADHD.
Well, that's it. Yeah, the culture.
I suppose,
yeah.
Bold, disruptive. Messer, distracting, tick maybe. They were the kind of labels back then, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And you would have seen it certainly in other kids. And sure, everyone has an experience of other kids in the classroom. See, the thing is, I was a good boy. I just wasn't getting it. Do you know, I wasn't listening. Okay. I wasn't understanding it. But I wasn't disruptive in the sense that I was messing or joking or laughing or getting up and running around or shouting or anything like that, because I was terrified of getting in trouble. So, but everyone would know as well that the few lads in the back of the class, or the few lads that were moved to their own table and ignored. This, by the way, would have been the late 80s. I'm 43, so we're like...
Wasn't the Middle Ages.
But moved to their own table and left. Not disruptive necessarily, but just, like I said, just not getting it.
As you grew into adulthood, had you any inkling there was something maybe different about you? No.
No. And again, you sort of ascribe it to your... It's only post... I got diagnosed in November, and it's only post-diagnosis that you go... By the way, there's dozens of Instagram influencers and reels saying, is this a thing? Like doom boxes is an example. These are like piles of stuff in the house. You go through a fit of tidying up and you put it in a box, and then you put the box away, and then there's dozens of boxes around the house of stuff that you've just in a fit just tidied up. That's just one tiny thing. Missing flights. Would have been a thing. Not here, you know, my wife having to text me multiple times to go, you know, you're picking up the children at whatever time. But it's things that would have been a sort of ascribed to my personality, being terrible with money. That's just Ray. Or do you know that thing, everyone, as we're becoming more aware of ADHD, it's like, that's just Ray's ADHD or his undiagnosed ADHD. Whereas once you're diagnosed, then you kind of go, it was right, or it was... Do you know, all these elements.
Your wife was saying this to you. That's
well, yeah, she it was funny because our whole thing happened because our youngest was sort of flagged in school. She was sort of thinking he was going through a miserable time through exactly the same set of circumstances that I had gone through in school.
So you were just thinking he's his father's son?
I was utterly cynical about the whole thing. Like, I was like, I sure look, like I said, you know, why do we need to be labelling them? Why do we need to be diagnosing? It's just like, is that not what being a 6-year-old, 7-year-old in primary school, isn't that it? Like, isn't that being a little boy in school? Isn't that it? And she was like, yeah, maybe it is, but we'll be going through this process and they can tell us yes or no at the end of it. So we went through the HSE. It took a couple of years. It was during COVID and all. And through the whole thing, and they're incredibly thorough, like dozens of one-to-one meetings with the parents involved, bring the child in, tests, long, like a couple of hours long tests, constant follow-ups. And throughout the whole experience, I was like, arms folded, eye rolls. like, this is just what Abita said. His 6-year-old is like, this is life. And eventually, and it was like a slap in the face, the consultant the doctor that we were dealing with, said something like, she didn't say outright, well, you have it, you idiot. But she said something along the lines of, well, you know, it is quite common for a parent to have it, or another family member to have ADD or ADHD.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I looked at Kate like, is she saying that I have it? And Kate, my wife, is like nodding vigorously. Like, I've been trying to tell you this for the last couple of years. So yeah, like that, you're kind of like, and then once they tell you, so then following on from that, and like I say, I was very cynical about him as a child going through this sort of, and it's like, why do we need to diagnose them or label them? That I said, well, I'll go through it and I'll see then, you know, if it's the case that I have it, maybe that it's something we both have together, and I can get a better understanding of the position. So I would, like I say, I went through it, and again, then you're sort of going, well, that explains all these dozens of other things down through the years and in my life. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the initial reaction? I would be thinking, on one hand, you might get a bit defensive and go, this is just who I am, like. Mm. And on the other hand, then you were saying, well, that would have been handy to know 40 years ago.
Yeah, totally. Well, do you know what? Like, it was a different time. It wasn't like a teacher was in a position to do it. He was, like, he was so lucky because we teachers saying it, but there was a long, long time of, like, sticker charts and, like, all my position with him was, like, all he needs is a firm hand. I was the same myself, do you know? He needs a crackdown. Yeah, but it would have been handy to know, particularly as a dad now, that, like, I'm, you know, my eldest boy is 12, he's 10, and it would have been good for me to be more engaged, because even when you're like...
Were you not? No.
No, not really. On a weekend and stuff, you're particularly on the weekends, and when you're either adult or you're thinking about the stuff you're not getting done. See, this is the thing that you've got as well, that I always had. And again, a part of my personality was this sort of anxiousness or the feeling, which goes right back to being a child, that, you know, that feeling of like, I don't have the homework done and I'm going to get in trouble for it. And this is even my line of work, like as a radio presenter or whatever, or doing bits of TV. It's like, I haven't read that. They told me to read that and I didn't read that and I'm going to get caught. Or I don't have the homework done, or I don't have that sense of, I'm going to get in trouble for this.
So you see, I would, only knowing you from like the TV and the radio, I would have thought you were a very laid back, kind of relaxed dude. So you a bit of an anxious type.
Like, yeah, I would have always been a bit anxious. Yeah. I suppose the line of work as well is just sort of like, it's not pensionable and secure or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Unless you work in RTE, of course. I'm
as management.
As management, of course. To call it like debilitating anxiety or anything like that would be wildly overstating, but just that sense of like, ugh, do you know what I mean?
And would you have tried to do something about that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would have, it all sort of calcified when, or came to a head when when Kate, my wife, became pregnant with our first kid, Matthew, and he's 12 now, so like 13 years ago. And it was sort of like, it's time to get serious now, you know, it's time to work things out. And I suppose things like mortgages and, career and security become a bit more focused.
Yeah.
And then I became quite just antsy and nervous and like a bit of the anxiety about it. So like I tried all the things that, you know, the mindfulness and the breathing and the then therapy and what was the just various forms of, like, I talked to a counsellor, CBT, yeah, loads of things.
And
well, this is the thing, like, nothing. And I said it to a number of them that, like, it doesn't seem to be sticking. Like, I'm well able to come in and sit here for an hour once a week and talk about, I can list it off for you. You don't even need to ask me any questions. I can just list it off for you, what's wrong this week,
yeah,
or whatever it is I'm worried about, or what I haven't done, or whatever it is I'm nervous about, or whatever is, the regular stresses of life. And I can go, well, that explains that. And then walk out the door, and an hour later I'll be feeling the same way. It's okay. Like, you're not addressing your, you're not fixing the feelings or the feeling of feeling like, nervous or like that the homework isn't done.
So was that all a result now, looking back, of ADHD?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, but yeah. And really that the sense it, like, because you're so addled, really, that like nothing actually gets done, because you're like, okay, I've got three things to do tomorrow. I need to read that. I need to write, record that thing. I need to drop the kids to whatever. Obviously, the dropping the kids to whatever needs to be done. But then the other two things might get done. Or maybe they'll get done late, or maybe they won't get done at all. And then there's a sense of like, there's you'd feel bad about that. And that sort of thing builds, you know, that
it,
like,
sounds like an exhausting dance for like all those years, was it?
Well, you see, this is the thing. No, I was grand.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
it, you see.
Well, you knew no better, did you?
That's it. That's your life, do you know?
Yeah.
And then you'd look at other people and you'd go, how can they be so, you know, I might look at you, or I might look at, and go, well, sure, he's a, you know, Brendan O'Connor, he's writing in the Sunday Indo, and he's on the, you know, he does his TV show and he does the radio. How come he can get everything done? And you could look at anyone and go, how did they get everything done? And you just presume that either they're faking it or winging it, or they've got entirely different processes in place. My wife was amazing. She put a load of, once we got married, she became my full-time manager in terms of getting stuff done. So like, we've a shared online calendar, so everything goes in there. She would, you know, prior to being diagnosed, she'd be texting me reminders and making sure she took over the money, because I'm a disaster with money. So years ago it was like, okay, I'm taking all the money's going to the one account, and I'll manage all the money. So she took that over. She was the adult, like, yeah.
So, okay, you were a hard person to be married to, were you?
But I'm gorgeous. So.
Yeah.
No, yeah, she...
She was in it for sex, basically.
Absolutely, yeah.
Put up and everything else.
Who could blame her? No, yeah. She said, for years, she was sort of... It was funny because we were out for dinner at the time that this doctor said... it might be you, Ray. You might have a bit of the old ADHD as well. You might be riddled with it.
Yeah.
We went for dinner, and I said, "Do you think I have it?" And she says, "I have been honestly for years saying you have it. I've been suggesting and tiptoeing around you having it, but you just, because you can't focus, you weren't taking it in at all. It took somebody else to do it." Yeah, hard enough to manage, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that all coming out in the wash now? So like, she's now telling you, well, actually,
well,
this was quite difficult for a long time.
We're great together. So and Kate is great. So no, it's not like there's a big huge revelation.
A reckoning.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, it's getting real. The big thing was, in terms of the diagnosis, both of our diagnoses with me and Andrew, the 10-year-old, is that like my notion of all he needs is a firm hand is gone, because I now understand that he has the ADD or the ADHD, and I also have it. So this firm hand notion is now gone.
Yeah.
And he also
has... Do the two of you kind of get each other?
Yeah, much more so now than we would have. And the other one with him is that he also has it. He was always... Like, he would say to us in his quiet moments, I'm the bad one, or I'm the bold one, you know? And he'd almost wear it as a badge of honour, he'd be saying.
That was his story.
You know, it's like, I'm the bold one, I'm the mad one, I'm the crazy one. And since he was told, because we've both been diagnosed, since he was told, it's a thing that he just sort of, he's never said since, I'm the bad one. He sort of shrugs and he says, and he has it in his own sort of vocabulary. Yeah. He says like, Oh, that's probably my ADHD that I didn't remember that. Or that's my ADHD that I didn't get that done on time. And he'd even say to other people that, like, oh, sorry about that. That's I've got ADHD, so sometimes I don't catch things. And it never has come up again that I'm the
that
I'm
little
a bad
guy
kid.
Was so hard on himself yeah. for so long.
Yeah, and like, it was all in his head.
Yeah. And he's not now.
No, he's not at all. It's like it was instantaneous that it's gone. Now,
are you easier
time,
on yourself now?
I think so. Yeah. You'd have the awareness, and I'm getting stuff done. That's the other thing, that like I no longer approach your weekend with dread that like, I'm not going to, like, we're in our house 10 years. And since the day we moved in, there's things that have needed to be done. And I finally, Christmas started getting them done, because like I say, every weekend you'd approach it. You'd be going to bed on Sunday night and you go, I still didn't get that thing done that I needed to get done. Like, put up that shelf.
So what was the weekend like?
The weekend was keeping your head above water for me, usually, because between work and getting stuff done in work, because in terms, in work as a radio presenter, you're like, okay, I've got to, the show starts at, in your case, 11. So everything needs to be done by then for work, for the show. Keep your head above water, get it done, finish, do the couple of hours. And then your downtime, your off time, you sort of collapse, in my case, or nap or chill out. And certainly then on the weekends. So it'd be sort of disengaged, tired, the napping, sort of chilling out and being distracted as well. Like I could go on the phone, on Instagram, and an hour and a half later, it's like, oh, Jesus, where did that time go? It's gone. I'm sure we're going to watch a TV program now. We're going to have dinner. Nothing would get done. Nothing. Whereas now it's like, okay, I've got these 6 things to do this weekend and I'm going to get them done.
And you're taking medication?
Yeah.
And has that changed everything, yeah?
Pretty much. I'd tried antidepressants years ago. And again, the sense of it, this isn't sticking. It's not having any impact. Yeah.
I think they only work if you're depressed.
This is the thing. This is the thing. But it was sort of the sense of anxiety or the sense of something not being right. It wasn't touching the sides. It just wasn't working. And I wasn't achieving anything. And I talked to other people and they're like, oh my God, it's changed my life. It's opened everything up. And same with the counselling or therapy or talking. It's not sticking. I'm too adult. I'm not, it's not working. The change in me has been that I have the focus to stay focused on a task, get it done and move on to the next one, and not be jaded or distracted or give up on it or lose hope in it.
So that's the kind of, that sounds quite like the functioning of life in a way, right?
Yeah, but to most other people.
Yeah. But in terms of you then, like if I'd met you before your diagnosis, before medication and everything, what would be different about you to what I'm meeting today?
In terms of my personality, nothing has changed.
Okay,
quite a misconception. Yeah, yeah. That it's like, oh, you start taking these pills and you completely change. No, in terms of my personality, nothing really. No, but in the background, like I say, I'm getting stuff done and I'm much more settled. In terms of work and happier at work. Yeah,
and like being a better parent must be very rewarding as well.
That's the biggest.
Do you kind of think now, like, isn't that a shame?
When you were asking, like, wouldn't it be great to have this for 43 years ago? That would
the boys.
Yeah, totally. And the sense of, like the notion of, I don't know, going up to Tato Park or something would have been, oh my God, how am I going to survive? I'm going to, be engaged, not lose my temper, not get ratty, addled, distracted, not be thinking about what I need to do later or tomorrow, or missing a deadline or something. Instead, just been totally engaged because I've got, the other things that you'd be worried about getting done, I've got them done. Yeah.
Yeah. And a better husband now?
Sure. I'm still a nightmare in that respect. Yeah, we'd have to give her a survey.
Your wife does sound amazing. You clearly have an extraordinary relationship, do you?
Kate's amazing. Well, everyone says it about Kate, that Kate is amazing. Everyone instantly falls
that's
in love
like
with her.
My wife is great too. She's literally the better half. Like, yeah. My wife is the socially acceptable half.
I imagine it's a thing. But it's...
Which is not true.
Absolutely not. No, not at all. She's really fake and she says horrible things about those people behind their backs. My wife is like, I always said that, like, when you do things like counselling or one-to-one therapy or anything like that, it would come up like, And what about your relationship? You know, and it's like, oh, there's nothing there. I've nothing. You know, I could be here all day whinging about so many other elements of my life, but my wife is, you know, it's yeah, she's an angel. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A huge support.
So, have you had a lot of kind of different conversations since all this happened? Like, have you talked about
everything? Everything goes back to the revelation of like, oh, sure, that was before. There was pre. ADHD,
really?
That's post, yeah, a lot of things, yeah, but like, yeah, it's better. What can I say? It's better. I'm just
clearly is, yeah. It's changed your life completely, yeah. Has it?
Look at me now. I'm going to start a podcast and breathing exercises, and this is my brand. I'm not an advocate for.
I know, but you know what? Yeah. I think by being really kind of casual and relatable about it, like the way people are responding to this, is just extraordinary because you're not. You're not being preachy about it. You're not setting yourself up as, you know, somebody who had a terrible life or anything. But like, it's all coming in here. Like, recently diagnosed adult with ADHD. I can't believe how long I spent trying to be better, beating myself up about behaviour patterns I couldn't seem to break. If I'd known that I was a square peg that was never going to fit in the round hole that neurotypical people seem to find so much easier, I would have been a hell of a lot kinder to myself. But hey, knowing now is better than never knowing. I'm thrilled, says that person. What a fantastic interview. We have a 21-year-old son with ADD. Everything Ray says is so true. Our son is struggling through college. Our fear is what's next. He works hard, but grades below average. He can't think ahead. Constant worry for us. I'd say, was radio and television and stuff a good hiding place for someone with ADHD?
You know this. This business is full of them.
Riddled.
We're coming down with them. That's the thing. That like I just said about the nature of the work, having a deadline, a definite start time is a huge thing, because it's like whatever happens, the show is going on at that time. And that's, you know, and it's that type of personality that it gravitates towards that. The other thing as well is hyper focus. So I was, as a teenager, like I was obsessive about radio and working in radio and how does that work and microphones and CD players and that kind of thing. That hype. So there'd be a thing you're mad into. And you throw all of your attention and focus into it, and in the ADHD, and then that's at the to the detriment of everything else. So for me, it was radio. For other people, it's different things.
Ray Foley, I think that was a very, very useful conversation for people. I really do. I can see it there in the text. Thank you so much,
Brendan. Pleasure. I'm a big fan. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you again.
Yeah.
Cheers, man. Much
obliged. All right.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.